The importance of Francis the Holy Jester, which might appear at the very first sight, a superficial sight, some kind of respectful, or among the Catholic community especially, there is a kind of suspicious on this word, jester, right? Mm-hmm. But it's only, as I said, a superficial point of view, because it's Francis himself, used to call himself, "I am the jester of God." And indeed, he was a real jester. We're talking about a man who lived 800 years ago. So the only way to communicate even the gospel to the people was through gesture, through gestuality, through the utilizing the using the whole of the body and all different languages. There wasn't one language. There was no, the Italian language still was to come 100 years ahead, no? So there were dozens of languages and dialects. And people like Francis, it wasn't only Francis, there were loads of them who were lay brothers or just simple, ordinary people who wanted their love to communicate the stories that was happening, not just on the gospel, but stories that were happening around in the nation, in the country, in the towns. And so they will, they were very skillful, they have this tremendous powerful voice, and they have they master their body in order to communicate even for those people who wouldn't understand the language with the body language was supplied to make the message go through.
Tell us about the author. He was a Nobel Prize winner.
Yes, he's a Nobel Prize winner, Dario Fo, which actually there is one of his plays here in town. I don't know if you, it's Accidental Death of an Anarchist. Dario Fo is not today joyful, has reached the age of 87 years old, and he has just finished a new play, and it was on stage in Milan about Picasso paintings. And they did two nights with 2,000 people each night in the theater. And his wife, Franca Rama, as well, joined him on the stage, and they delivered this incredible play with sketches and paintings all behind him on the screen that demonstrate and explain the design and the drawing of Pablo Picasso.
Because we hear more and more that people are moving away from religion, how is this received before audiences?
Well, I was really, I must thank you about this, for this question. It's really, this is really that's what really is more, very important, and I believe very much in this. It's a big issue today, religion, no?
Especially, well, many children are growing up without any religion.
That's right, yes, because religion has become so boring. In fact, you have so many sects, you know, who come and bring the religious message onto you because they are appealing, you know. They are charming, and they make you touch immediately the benefit of it, you know. Really, I don't think there is a shortest way to certain kind of things besides all, you know. You need to really... And this is the great issue, you know, that there is on the base of this play. Francis is never bored, never boring, never. He's always challenging all the time. He's questioning himself all the time. And and also, I mean, 800 years ago, the church was in such a mess, especially in Francis' time, you know, and that it came about in a very incredible moment where the corruption was, I was just going to say, like almost like today, in some part of it anyway. It was all over, and Francis didn't give up, challenged that, and wanted to bring his idea, and he went to meet the Pope, and he asked the Pope the possibility to go around and tell the gospel in the language of the people. When? It was strictly forbidden. You can only tell the gospel in those days in Latin. And it was a mortal sin. You were not allowed. You could end up really in trouble, into prison. But Francis didn't give up. Went to the Pope, challenged the Pope, and then they have to upset his idea. And they had to grant him permission that he could go around and tell the gospel in the language of the people. The language that the Pope says, you can go for the length that you want, tell the gospel wherever you want to be, for the time, in the language that you care, I give you this permission, says Pope Innocent III to Francis of Assisi. You know, so imagine what a great also how strong he was, you know, in his... We have this familiarity with Francis, that we watch his pictures, always so humble, with his eyes lowered down, as he's painted on walls and things like that, you know. But we tend to forget that Giotto never met Francis of Assisi. Giotto came more than 80 years after Francis' death. He never saw him, never met him. He only painted all those paintings and represented Francis in such a way, so humble, so always with his arm closed, with his hand a little lower, bent on the left or on the right, depends. And with, you know, very looking really poorly, you know, really. Mm-hmm. But really, he couldn't have a clue. He painted that on the most important account that was up to that moment written on Francis of Assisi, where the account of Saint Bonaventure of Bagnoregio, you know, which is this university's name after,
that's,
you
right,
know, which is, he too never met Francis of Assisi, right? And he collected all the stories, and he kind of did a kind of washed out all the stories, and he made a new one on command of the new Pope in Rome. So now, you know, but that's why we don't, but certainly what appeared here from Francis' life is he must have been a really incredible guy, you know, not just that.
What attracted you to this and your interest in St. Francis of Assisi?
Well, first of all, the incredible adventure of this man, which I was totally unaware about it. I knew what everybody knew, you know, about Francis of Assisi, that he was a very humble man, that he loved the poor, that he a strange guy who spoke to birds and sometimes to wolves. You might think, but then obviously this was just the rhetoric that there is behind this man, that there was so much behind it. And you must realize that this guy was completely washed out for more than 500 years. For 500 years, there was only one book on him. And all the other quotes and all the other notes about Francis were to be considered illegal and heretical. So you could be end up in prison if you were found with a story that was not underlined and guaranteed by the church. So imagine what a situation. It's only some kind of 200 years that the historical, even the church, from the church, have rediscovered Francis with new documents that were appearing every day. And that's what really fascinated me, was this story that Dario has written with all these new documents that were found in these latest 200 years.
So what would be surprising to us to learn about him that's in this play?
Well, it will be surprising, for example, the challenge that he gives to the society, which you would be really amazed to hear, that is today's society. Challenges, the same, right? Rich and poor, war and peace, hungry, injustice, all the same thing. And
same
Francis
struggles.
Above, more than this. Francis is the first one who speaks about nature, problem of human being relating to nature. He writes a poetry on water. And look what we are facing with the water crisis, especially in Europe. You know, every day there is problem with water, and there is no water, and the water is polluted. We can't bathe in any stream, in any river anymore. When I was a child, in my own time, I used to bathe in all summer in a canal was passing behind my windows. Now I can't even give a look to that canal, you know.
Oh, it's so amazing.
And Francis brought this out, the relation with the animals. Francis brought this out for the first time, right? The nature as a whole, you know, is really indeed can be, Francis can be indicated as one of the first person who really was taking care about what was surrounded us, you know.
He really cared about the environment and nature.
The environment and nature. Big issue today, isn't it?
Very big. What other cities are you traveling to while you're in America?
Oh, there will be many cities, such as soon after Buffalo, soon after San Bonaventure, I will be in Rochester, mm-hmm, University. Then also I will go to Detroit and Chicago, and then New York as well. many universities, Fordham, Princeton, then Boston, Harvard University, and many other places, then all the way to St. Louis.
Mario, what is it like for you to live where you live in Italy, so close to where he once walked?
Well, I think of it every day, basically, because it's just there. As soon as I open the door of my house, and I feel right in there, in those, I can see those trees, those footpaths, I can see those kind of things that Francis was probably passing by, you know. And I chose to live there, and so I was very privileged to find the place down there. And what can I say? It feels very good, believe me.
I can imagine. It must be beautiful.
It is, yes.
Are you surprised at coming here and seeing St. Bonaventure University and learning about what they are all about and being happy to be a part of their celebration of the Franciscan Week?
It's absolutely a great honor for me. I only discovered recently that is the first Franciscan settlement in USA. Actually, the first very Franciscan university in North America. You know, so I was really thrilled to discover this. And obviously, it's a great honor for me to be here and represent the story of Francis in such a place.
Mario, thank you so much for coming in and talking about St. Francis and your one-man play, Francis the Holy Jester. Enjoy your time here in America, and thank you for bringing this wonderful play to us.
Thank you very much for having me here at your program, and I hope that a lot of people could get to see it.